Recess from Angels on the Clothesline. Recess again. The boys playing dodgeball. The girls jumping rope. Cinderella dressed in yellow. How many times did you kiss your fella? One, two, three, four. They don't ask you to jump. You stare up at the row of birds on a wire, high towards the sky, next to each other, like friends. Mrs. Racine is around the corner of the building and can't see what is about to happen on the hard playground. How some kids will gather round you because it's recess. First, they'll pull off your warm hat, throw it into a muddy puddle, step on it a lot of times until it gets soaked. Then one of them will grab it, force it back on your head. After that is when they knock you down. Pull your skirt over your face. They'll shout, "See the little Jew who comes to school without panties?" Your face covered with your skirt, you will hear, not see them laughing hard. The first few times you yelled, "I do have panties on. These are flesh-colored tights." But they yelled louder, and you gave up trying to tell the truth. You asked your mother for different color tights, but she said, "No, why?" You didn't tell her why, so she wouldn't go back to Poland in her mind and remember worse things than kids making fun. Kids, she'd say, just to ignore, and your daddy would say, to punch. But you don't do either thing. You tried one of them, the ignore thing. It didn't work. Ignoring doesn't change a thing. They know you can hear them, that they do, that what they do makes you sad. And you aren't strong enough to punch so many of them. Now, a few fourth graders mixed in with third and some second from your grade come towards you. Faces scrunched up, mean, ready to bother the little Jew who never fights back. You feel your face get hot, which usually doesn't happen, red hot, like something in you is about to explode. Somebody shoves your shoulder, another pushes your back. What they always do to get ready to knock you over, but your legs don't wobble like usual. Instead, they become like steel. You stand up straighter, taller. You think of what your daddy hollers when he has no more patience, when you better leave him alone or else. Hakmanishin dem China Karan. They don't understand it in Yiddish. They won't understand it in Yiddish. So you quick think of how to say it in English. Yell it so loud, it makes your throat hurt. Stop banging me on my tea kettle. Except for not saying it in Yiddish, you yell it just like your daddy yells it, ordering them to stop now, to leave you alone. Not one more word, not one more push or name. Just once is enough when your daddy hollers it. But you yell it one extra time to make sure they hear you, even stomp your foot. Stop banging me on my tea kettle. The loud, angry way you yell it, not only one time, but two, means they will listen and finally leave you alone. They will know you mean it. How much you hate when they take your hat, tease about your tights and all the other things just because you're Jewish, not a regular American like them. For a second, they're surprised and don't do anything. Then one of them shouts, "Don't bang me on my tea kettle, on my tea kettle. The Jew, the little Jew has a tea kettle." They laugh so hard. They hold their bellies, can hardly catch their breath. They yell the words over and over, like they are not the most angry thing a person can holler to make everybody stop. But instead, like it was a funny thing, a joke. Maybe you said it wrong. You must have said it the wrong way. So instead of them seeing how angry you are and how strong and leaving you alone, and they're making fun of something else Jewish about you, how you say American expressions wrong, get things mixed up, let Yiddish words and ways of saying things slip in. When your mother asks how your tights got torn and blood on them, you say, I tripped. It didn't hurt at all. But maybe, you ask, careful as you can, you should get red tights instead, just in case you fall again. She shakes her head, dabs mercurochrome on your naked knees. Just be careful not to fall. Then while she puts the little bottle in the medicine cabinet, maybe red tights someday, maybe for special occasions. You never yell again that they should stop banging on your tea kettle. You don't know how to make them leave you alone, to stop their teasing. Disappearing seems the best idea, but for that, you would need a miracle. And if God didn't give miracles to your grandmothers when they were forced into gas chambers, why would he give one to a girl in second grade in America who was only getting knocked down? Thank you for listening.